Good morning, friends. It's good to see everybody. It's good to worship together. I love that line of that song, "Dissolved by Thy Goodness." And man, hopefully you've tasted of that moment where you deserved the opposite of goodness, and the Lord just poured mercy and goodness on you. And it does dissolve you, doesn't it? It does melt you to the point of tears where you weep to the praise of the mercy that God showed people. And so we gather because of that mercy. It's to His honor that we do, and He is worthy of our gathering. So I'm happy to worship with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Galatians. Chapter 5, Galatians there in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so each and every week we open the Bible together, and we always have it up on the screen, but I always find that it's nice to have in hand too. If you need a Bible, we have a number as you exit on the way out. We have some resource shelves there. You can grab a Bible and bring it every Sunday, because this is the holy word of God that we open and that we feed on together. So let me just ask you to stand out of reverence for God's word as we look at two verses, verse 16 and 17, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." This is the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. Galatians, a very honest letter. Paul probably spoke more forthrightly more forthrightly in the book of Galatians maybe than any other book. They had a lot of issues. And if you read the verses before the ones that we referenced, you'll find that because of the issues within the church, they were devouring one another. They were at odds. It says they were biting one another. I mean, it was not a good situation. And Paul could have instructed them in many ways, but I think he hit at the core of what is true in terms of what it is to be a believer and follow the ways of God, and that is the call for every Christian to walk by the Spirit. Paul's solution to their devouring one another, their biting one another, his solution to the issues, there were many others within this church, was to walk by the Spirit. And today I want to talk on the church's call to walk by the Spirit. We've been doing a series on the church all summer long because I feel like we've lost the concept, idea, doctrine of what it means to be a church. Why did God call the church into existence? What is the purpose of the church? And why is it important that I'm personally engaged in that? I feel like we've almost been acclimatized to a virtual experience of the church. And I said last week that I will not make friends with that, and I will not lead our church in that way either. And I also thought that this is the last Sunday that we're doing this series on the church, and I've got a lot of other things to say. So I had a bit of a list going, like, what am I going to emphasize this week? Which is most important? And I found within that decision-making that there was a part of me that wanted to constrain and even control, that I wasn't giving you over to God, I wasn't giving Christ community over to God, that the topics that I was thinking about teaching on were, in a sense, out of fear as I look ahead. And that bothered me, especially because I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. I was making decision by the flesh, talking about walking in the Spirit. So I felt like the safest thing I could do is entrust you to God and entrust Christ's community to God. And I believe that us as a church and you individually as a believer walking by the Spirit, that we can trust God to lead us in unity. And so that's what I want to explore today. So I'm sparing you from maybe where I wanted to go personally in my flesh. And I'm calling us to once again revisit what it is to walk by the Spirit, because in my observation of my own life over these past months and the church more broadly, I don't know that we have. I think we've been very reactionary. I think that's caused a lot of fear and suspicion as we look ahead. And so I'm asking God to do a work in my own heart, that He would enable me to walk not by my flesh, not by what I see, but rather to believe that His ways are the best, and that the ways in which He leads me to walk by faith are a greater reality maybe than what I'm putting trust to in these moments. And so I'm preaching to myself as most Sundays. So with that, my main truth is this. The main point I want to communicate is the church can survive and flourish through this pandemic, but only if we walk by the Spirit. So as I look ahead, I have fears. As I mentioned last week, most church consultants and experts are saying that when everything gets back more to a normal state, you can almost guarantee that 30% of the church will have exited for good. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a pruning. Maybe that's an indication to those who might have left that there might not have been a genuine faith before. I'm not sure. But still, as I look ahead, you know, that causes me as a pastor some concern, as I'm sure you share in that. But the church, I believe, can survive and flourish, but only if we walk by the Spirit. And I would say this is true of your own Christian walk as well. Now, maybe you find yourself in here today downcast and defeated, and over the time of your Christian life have been felt this way many times to the point where you've disengaged with God. And I want to put before you hope, biblical hope, a surety that God is with you by His Spirit, and His call for you to walk by His Spirit is a way of life and peace. And so let me ask the Lord to help us. Let me pray, and then we're going to follow along with 2 points I want to pursue together through this passage. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for how comprehensive You are to work in us and in the church, that You give us every means to be able to survive and flourish in our personal walk with You, in the church's mission in the world. And Lord, we want to revisit, or maybe learn for the first time, what it is to walk by Your Spirit. And so teach us this morning. And I pray You'd warm our hearts. I pray You'd move us in our will. I pray You'd move us in our emotions. And I pray that You would move us in the way that we think about living the Christian life. So, Lord, come and do the work that only You can do. Individually this morning, You can minister to us that You would do that. In the name of Christ, amen. So 2 points. One is, who has the Holy Spirit? That's an important question to ask. And then number two, how do we walk by the Spirit? But I think it's important to answer the question, who has the Holy Spirit? Because sadly, that is a discussion in the church more broadly. Do some people have the Holy Spirit? Do some people not? Do some Christians in particular have the Holy Spirit? So to show my cards up front, my contention is that all Christians have the Holy Spirit. That there's not a sense in the church of God that there's a first-tier Christianity for those really spiritual, and then there's a second tier for those that are just coming along, and maybe a sixth tier just barely hanging on. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 3 that all believers are the temple of God. And of course, that's an allusion to the Old Testament. When you think about the temple of God, you think that's where God dwells. And that's exactly what he's communicating, that all believers have the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, as the New Testament would call the Holy Spirit as well. Christ with us, Christ dwelling with our spirit. We see this maybe most clearly in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And there's two key words to look at in this passage to establish the fact that all Christians have the Spirit in measure. The Holy Spirit is not some disowned entity. He is a person. And just like a person, he's either there or not. Ephesians 1 says this, in him you also, when, there's key word, when what? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. What's that? Conversion. So that's important. When, and then he's getting, when that happens, something else happens. So when you came to know the Lord, you what? Were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who was a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. How great is our Father God that he would bring us into his family and then have to dwell with our spirit, within us, his spirit. So when you came to hear the word of truth and place your trust in Christ and believe, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And it says he is the guarantee. The Greek word there, erubon, means a part payment in advance for security. So he's a guarantee of what was to come, your inheritance. So you got basically a down payment. You could think of it like maybe an engagement ring of a guaranteed marriage to come. And I know every example of this breaks down at some point, and I get that, but the Holy Spirit has been given to every believer, the person of God by his Spirit dwells with those who believe. And he is a glorious and wonderful gift. I know many times we read the New Testament, maybe you in your personal devotional times, particularly in the Gospels, and you say, how great would it have been to be one of the disciples, to walk with Jesus, to be around a campfire and a meal with him? And Jesus said something astonishing to his disciples concerning the Holy Spirit. This is in John 16, verse 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. No one would ever say that, would they? I mean, who were friends with Jesus? No, it's not. You would disagree when he said it. Hey, David, it's better that I go away. No, it's not. No, it's not. But he gave a reason. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. So with that, there's a real sense that our experience of Christ today is better, because we have the Holy Spirit with each of us, the person of the Holy Spirit. And he dwells with our spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, always and forever, from beginning to end, is to reveal the person of Christ. He is never drawing attention to himself. I've given the example often of the Christmas parade from Griffin, Georgia. It's much like any other southern small town. I grew up in Griffin, Georgia. We had a Christmas parade. The highlight of the parade was Santa on his sleigh at the end. And everyone stuck around to see Santa. And if we were to take that experience, which probably most of you had, the Holy Spirit would not be replacing Jesus on the sled. In fact, he'd be in the crowds running up and down with the people going, look at him! Look at him. Look at him. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is always to point to Christ, never himself. And it's always to reveal Christ in us. And the Holy Spirit, in His person, dwells with our spirit in seeking over and over and over again in a fashion that is unending to reveal Christ in you. How wonderful and how kind of our Father to give us such a helper. And what a great guarantee of an inheritance that is to come. Someone to keep us, someone to hold us, someone to keep us from walking away from the faith, someone to sustain us, someone always to point ahead. There's an inheritance coming. There's an inheritance coming. Every person who is a believer has the Holy Spirit. But our purpose today is to ask, how do we walk by the Spirit that's been given to us? So please don't question if you're a Christian, a believer in the Lord, come under His Lordship, trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Please don't question whether you have the Spirit. You do. God is not holding back from you. But let's learn together what it is to walk in the Spirit. Like this passage, it says, keep in step with the Spirit. In other places, give this idea. Person, this is a very relational interaction, walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. It really communicates that the Spirit is active, always, that He is at work. And so what is it to walk by the Spirit? Galatians 5:16, but I say walk by the Spirit. There it is, a command. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It is our call to walk by the Spirit. So let me ask you, how are you doing? If you and I were to have coffee, and I were a new believer, and I would say, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? What would you communicate to me? If I were to say, hey, give me an example of what it looks like in your own life, what could you relate to me? It is so important that we walk by the Spirit. So I want to suggest two ways. There's more, but for our time, two ways. Number one, how do we walk by the Spirit? By His power and our activity. By His power, we walk by the Spirit, by His power and our active faith. Where do I get this? I get this Scriptures, particularly looking at the lives of those in that time who followed Jesus. Now let's look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29. This is Paul. He says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So Paul's doing a lot. He's not idle. He's not, God, you do it. I mean, what's he doing? He's proclaiming, he's warning, he's teaching, he's just striving that those that he loves, those that come to Christ would grow up in maturity. In fact, verse 29, he says, for this I toil and struggle. Like, this is no small effort for me. So Paul is active. And then he says, struggling with all my energy that he powerfully works within me. And this is the time you say, no, it doesn't. It says His. Exactly. Paul is displaying an active dependence that by faith he is doing these things that he's called to do, but his dependence is not on his wisdom. His dependence is not on his education. It is on the Lord. And he's saying, I'm toiling, I'm struggling for all these things, And I'm doing this with all His power, which mightily works within me. Jerry Bridges wrote a book years ago now called Disciplines of Grace. And he would say this verse describes what he would call a dependent discipline. I think that's a good way to put it. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? It's a dependent discipline or an active faith of dependence. I've heard dependent striving. I've heard active passivity. However you might want to say it, you get the picture, right? that as a believer, the Lord has given me a way to walk. He's given me a mission as His child. And daily I'm to take that up and be active in the mission that He's given me. And my dependence for that, though, is not on myself. It's on Him. So there's a daily taking in my orders, in a sense. I open the Bible. I eat my daily bread. I rarely go a day that I don't eat to sustain my physical body. Spiritually, even more so, I should never assume that I have in me what it takes to get through a day spiritually. It's just foolish. I do not. And so spiritually, I need to eat. And so I open the Word, and I have this feast put in front of me. And some days, I must admit, it's like a nibble, and other times, it's like a steak dinner. But either way, I take in this feast, and then by faith, seek to live that out, all with, God, you got to do this. God, you're calling me to love my spouse in a certain way, and I don't have it in me to love the way you're calling me to love. In fact, you tell me to love her like you love me, and I just don't have it. So you have got to enable me, but I'm going by faith to walk in the way that you've told me to walk. This is not let go, let God. This is very much active trust. God, you've called me to walk by your Spirit, to keep in step with your Spirit. I'm going to believe that you're going to provide for me to do that, and I'm going to walk in the way that you've called me to walk. Does that make sense? This is not God, do it. This is not even God, come help me, although I think that's a great prayer, God, help me. In my idea, that the idea of help, though, is like, hey, I'm going to do this much, and then you make up for the lack. I think a better term is God, enable me. God, enable me. You've got to empower me for this, to walk by your Spirit. To do my job, whatever that is, to view that as a vocation, a calling, and to do it in a way that honors you today, I got to have you with me. To honor you in my private world, the world that no one sees, I got to have you enable me. I've got to walk by your Spirit. The reason for Christian defeat and discouragement is because we've chosen to go our own way. We've chosen to walk by the flesh. This is God, enable me. It is dependence, and it's also active trust that He will give me what I need when I walk into that situation or circumstance. So, number one, it is that. Number two, it's following through on the Spirit's movement. So, I'm in tune, or I'm in step, I'm paying attention, and so I'm obeying His prompts with me, His pushes and His pulls. I'm obeying His warnings, His guardings, His alerts. I'm believing the truth that He wants me to hear when I'm believing lies. I don't know a better way to say it than that we become in tune with the Holy Spirit. That His voice, His ways, His promptings, His leanings are clear to me, and that I've kept in step to the point where they are clear. And I realize the potential of the Christian experience for it not to be clear because we haven't been listening. And the Spirit's voice is muddled under all the other voices maybe we've been listening to. So in my own experience, I came to know the Lord at age 18. So I've been walking with the Lord for a while now. In my own experience, in terms of keeping in step, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? This is one of the conclusions I've come to. Preoccupation determines path. That is what I'm giving my mind, my heart, my emotions, what I'm giving myself over to determines the direction I go. So particularly, over to. What have you allowed to come in and dominate? And how is that going for you? Since we hadn't been able to meet on the whole like we have, I've gotten a lot of time individually with people, lunches, coffees. And I would say almost everyone indicates to me that we've really fought to keep in step with the Spirit. There's discouragement and fear, and sadly in some situations, really bad decisions that have come through this time, I believe, because we haven't walked by the Spirit. And it's tough to live through personally, and it's tough to observe as a pastor. But preoccupation determines path. Romans 8, 5, and 6. You can see this verse behind me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds. They become preoccupied. They give themselves over to the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? Well, what's the role of the Holy Spirit? To reveal Christ. The things of the Spirit are the things of Christ. We know those. Those are hopefully clear to us. So, as a believer, I've been given a new nature. If anyone is in Christ, a new creation. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. I've been given a new nature. But my old nature, while no longer in a ruling capacity, is still within me. I've yet to be rid of my old person. He's no longer ruling. I've been made new, but he's there. And he kicks up often, and we call that our flesh, the old person. So either I give my mind over to the things that I used to value, I used to treasure. And when you do that, you're going to live according to the flesh. But Romans 8 says, if you give your mind over, if you're preoccupied with the things of Christ, then that will become reflective in your life. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How wonderful is that? What a promise. Do you mean that if I keep in step with the Spirit, if I walk by the Spirit, there would be a noticeable quality of life that could be described as life and peace? People are paying good money for that out there. The promise to the believers is that as we keep in step, as we walk by the Spirit, as we follow the Spirit's leanings and promptings and pushings and pulling, that we will experience life, abundant life, and peace. So, this is what I found. I find it easier to walk in the flesh. But the weight of the result outweighs the ease. Does that make sense? I find it easier to walk in the flesh, but the weight of the result outweighs the ease. The opposite is true. I find it more challenging to walk in the Spirit, and the result outweighs the challenge. So let me give an example. Let's just take parenting. Most of us know that journey. And let's just say there's a situation, an opportunity. It is an opportunity for me to parent when one of my children is out of bounds. And let's say that I enter into that opportunity in my flesh. All guns blazing, I'm angry. I read them the riot act. I tell them, we've been through this 20 times before. It's easier for me to do that. That's just natural to me. That's of my old person, but it's natural. So it's easier to do that, but the consequences of that are so weighty. I feel guilt and shame later on because I am a new creation. That's not who I am. And then there's the recovery with my children for them seeing dad harsh, speaking unkind words. So I find it easier to walk in the flesh, but the weight of the result outweighs the ease that it's, in the end, it's not worth it. But I find it more challenging to walk by the Spirit, and the outcome outweighs the challenge. That is, the fruit I taste at the end of walking by the Spirit makes the battle worth it. And for us, it's to convince ourselves that to indulge our flesh is not to our good, nor to those who might be on the receiving end of it. So the whole idea to speak your mind, let me just get this off my chest, probably not a good idea. Because the recovery is so much greater than even the initial moments. And I know that I'm walking in the Spirit when the desires of the Spirit are greater than the desires of my flesh. So, for instance, let's say that as I do most days, I check a few news. I want to see what's happening in our world. I want to see what's happening in the broader world. And as with every news site, you have all the categories. You have local news, U.S. news, world news. And then you have all the other categories, celebrity. And inevitably, in those categories, there's always, like, latest swimsuit fashion. Well, that's not really helpful for me. And almost weekly, I go through a battle. When I go to read the news and stuff, and then I see some offer that I know is not to my good, will I believe in that moment that, God, your ways are sweeter, that the end of this path for me is not to my good. In fact, it's to destruction. It's to my harm. These are indicators of walking by the Spirit, that when the desires of the Spirit, the ways of Christ are stronger in my heart, and I go, you know what, if I went down that path, that would be a lesser pleasure than me honoring God in my heart. That's an indication to me that I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. And I have a number of accountability partners to help me keep in step with the Spirit, whether it be in my role as a pastor or in my private world, whatever that might be. But the call is to keep in step with the Spirit, and my experience has been what I give my mind over to, what I'm preoccupied with, will determine my path. And you go, well, how do we hear the Spirit's voice? Well, God speaks clearly to us through His Word. We speak to Him by prayer. But there is the relationship that we have with Christ in us, the Holy Spirit. And I find it's much like how a parent might hear the voice of their child amongst every other voice. So, again, let's go back to parenting and our children. So my firstborn, Tyndall, to spend the night in the room with Susan, and they brought in Tyndall the first night, first day of her birth. And so I don't know if you remember that time, but I was in tune to Tyndall. Every breath. And I remember we were so tired, you know how those days are. You're so tired, but I was just conscious of hearing her little breath. And there was a few moments where it was either off rhythm or I couldn't hear it. And man, I was as wake and bright as anything. And I'd go over, okay, she's fine. I'd come back over. And that experience just increased as we had four children. And you know, later on, they'd be playing on a playground with 50 children, but You know the call of yours. You can, it cuts through everything. And my experience of walking by the Spirit and being in tune with the Spirit is having that relationship be to the point where His voice, His promptings, His warnings cut through any other voices that I might be listening to or holding on to. And I think it's very developed in that way. And I think the Bible would say, too, that you can mute the Spirit's voice. You can quench the Spirit by ignoring it and grow calluses or muffled ears to His promptings. When the Spirit says, don't act out in anger with your children, and I say, I want to fulfill my flesh, I'm right, and I follow through, I mute the Spirit's power in my life. I quench the Spirit. When the temptation to click on that site comes and the Holy Spirit says, danger, danger, this is not to your good, and I ignore him and I say, this is to my good. This is really what I want. I can quench the Spirit. And His voice becomes muddled, and there's a process of repentance that gets me back to being in step with the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit permeating who we are or controlling us and us willingly giving ourselves over in trust that He knows best. I think about how transformative it would be in marriages if we would walk by the Spirit. Just think about that. If Christ, by His Spirit, were leading you and your spouse's response to one another, how much love and grace would be experienced. I think about money. I think about politics, attitudes, inward and outward actions, our private world. I think about our church, how people are thinking about all these things. We need to walk by the Spirit. And this is my contention. I'll wrap up here. If we don't follow through on this command, we cannot follow through on any other. So in that way, this is so central for us as believers and as a church to walk by the Spirit, that we would keep in step. And when we go our own way, that we would hear His call and return and see Him enable us again. And so often we think about the work of the Spirit being in the Scriptures, we see this. But the danger of that is attributing only extraordinary work to the Spirit and not just normal day in and day out stuff. If you read the fruit of the Spirit, it's not really headline-grabbing stuff. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. None of those are grabbing headlines, but that's the fruit of the Spirit, and how wonderful it would be if we kept in step with it. Romans 8:6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So my hope for my own Christian life and my hope for my church, my friends here, my church family, is that we would walk by the Spirit and that we would see the fruit that God brings from that and glorify Him further. So Lord, help us. Let me pray. Lord, forgive us for just living days upon days, maybe months upon months in the flesh, just reacting, responding, trusting in ourselves. As we look ahead, we become discouraged. Lord, this is not what You've provided. In fact, You've provided Your Spirit to us, and You've promised that when we preoccupy ourselves with Your ways, that there will be a quality of life and peace that You grant to us, no matter what the circumstance. And that the fruit of the Spirit are things that we long for And I pray that, Lord, you would graciously call us back this morning to walk by the Spirit, no longer by the flesh. And Lord, that we would be convinced that your ways are good ways and your paths are good paths. In Christ's name.